Hello, we in the fellowship are a people called by God to communicate his love deeply into the hearts of men by living his life, preaching his word, and by the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We would love to take you on a journey into the very heart of God. Come with us as we journey together. This is the fellowship.
Your holy name. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for the outpouring of your spirit. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Thank you for changing the lives of men today. Thank you because tonight, as we behold you in your word, our lives will not remain the same again. Thank you, Father. Not one life will live here the way they came. Thank you for your transformation. Thank you for your impartation. As we press into you, we receive insight. We receive light and illumination. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Please sit down. Hallelujah. There's so much that I would have us do tonight. I'm really trusting the Lord to give us a very high level of speed today so that we can cover. That's why I don't even want to be tempted to sing this song, so that we can cover. I don't want it to be in part one and two. I want us to see how we can finish it today. So at some point, I will just be as fast as I can. I also understand that the weather is a little cold. Please, if you don't like the fan, don't be ashamed. Raise your hand so that they will see, so that they can turn it off if you know that it's disturbing you where you are. So that you don't suffer and smile. So let them not think that I'm the bushman that doesn't like cold. Please, don't die in silence. There's this proverb in Pidgin. They say, you don't use shame, drink poison. No, use shame, drink poison. They say, they give you poison. You know it's poison. You say, I don't know how to say that I don't want. If you know you're cold, please. The last time I came, that I wore Agbada, somebody said, Agbada fits you. I said, it's because of the cold I wore it. It has nothing to do with fashion. Hallelujah. Amen. John chapter 14. We'll try and be as fast as we can. I want you to be very sensitive as we teach. Don't let anybody distract you. If you came with your friend and your friend cannot stop gisting, you can just ask the ushers to help you change his seat. I want to attempt to speak today on activating the manifest presence. Activating the manifest presence. Somebody, can you say that after me? Say, activating the manifest presence. All right. Verse 30. John 14, verse 30. I would love that we read together. 1, 2, 3, let's go. I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and had what? I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and he does what? And he had nothing in me. Now, there are two very important things I want us to see in that last statement that Jesus made concerning the prince of this world. And of course, we know that when he was talking about the prince of this world, he was referring to who? To the devil, right? So this is Jesus, and the devil is not intimidated. He's not afraid. The devil came to him. And the devil came to him with an intention to carry out an agenda. The devil had an agenda. Do you understand that? Remember the book of John chapter 10 verse 10 that tells us, he said that the thief cometh not but for to what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. So every time the devil comes, his agenda is between these three dimensions. He doesn't come to do anything other than to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So if Jesus is saying that the devil has come, it means that the devil came to him with an agenda. And the agenda is to ensure that one of these three things will happen to Jesus. Either he will steal from him, he will kill him, or he will destroy him. So that was his agenda. But now, if the devil will come to Jesus, who are you? So Jesus is now saying that the prince of this world has come, or he cometh. But now he came, and when he came, he was disappointed. The disappointment was that he had nothing. Are you seeing that? So it means that it is possible for him. Let's rewind a little bit now. Before he came, okay, he's expecting that when he comes, he will find something that is his own. Are you seeing that? So when he said that he had nothing, it means that it is the devil's property. Are we correct? So the devil has properties also. Now, when he comes, before he can execute his agenda or his will over your life, there has to be that his property is with you. It's just like when you have a TV and you have a remote. Okay? Now, if you have a Samsung television and you bring a Sony remote, okay? And you try to control the Samsung television with the Sony remote, what will happen? It will not work. Are we correct? You try to press the power button. It will not, just in case it is on, it will not go off. Now, is it because the Sony remote is not working? No, the remote is perfectly okay. But for that remote to work, there has to be something that the remote has in the TV. It is called a sensor. Now, until that is found, you can press the remote for all you care. It will not produce any result on the television. It is exactly what's happening here. So Jesus is saying that the prince of this world cometh. But now, this is the point. Whatever he came to do cannot happen. And the reason is because he had nothing in me. He had nothing. So the important question we should be asking is not whether the devil is going to come to you or not. The question we should be asking is that, does he have anything in you? If he doesn't have anything in you, there's nothing to fear. And of course, Galatians chapter 5. We don't have to read that for time, but you can write it down when you go back. Read Galatians chapter 5 from verse 19 to 21 will give you some few clues of certain things that the devil can have in a man when he comes and he finds some of these things in you. It will be very easy for him to carry out his agenda. Maybe we should just read it so that we can, in passing, but I won't speak about it. There are so many scriptures I'll just br- bring up at some point, or we'll not speak about them because of our time, because I want us to. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Can we read them together? One. Let's read loud. One. Two. Three. Four. Yes, continue. Five. Six. Seven. Yes. 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 That they will do short certain shall not what? They cannot inherit the kingdom. Now, I don't want to go into those, but when you read them, you will know where your name is. Hallelujah. Yes, you will know. You will know. There's no, just in case you feel like your name is not in all those ones, go back and read them again. Then look at your Bible dictionary as you are reading them. So you find out that when you have something like hatred in your heart, or you have something like envy in your heart, you see, you are now accommodating the devil's property. Are you hearing me? Yes. You are accommodating. So when the devil wants to strike a man, and then he has tried everything possible and is not working, he tries to suggest some of these things to you. When you accept them, you are opening a gate. Remember that story in the Old Testament when the prophet Balaam and Balak, what was the name of the other one? The one that was called to come and curse Israel. Okay? And when every time he tried cursing Israel, what happened? If he opens his mouth, he blesses them. We called you to come and curse these people. He said, you cannot curse a man that God has blessed. So when they tried many times and it didn't work, he now told them what they should do. He said, see, let me tell you, the only way this thing can happen is that let these guys turn their back on God. They will self-destruct. Yes. So when the devil wants to destroy a man, he tries to create what I will call an enabling environment. So what he does is that he can suggest, he can send things to you. So for example, like for Jesus now, I'm taking you to the back end. That before the devil came, he had suggested all kinds of things. Hallelujah. Yes. He had suggested all kinds of things. At that point where Jesus was telling his disciples that the Son of Man is going to suffer many things, and then Peter rebuked him, you know, and then he looked at Peter and he said, get thee hence, Satan. He knew the devil was sending things to him because the devil was going to come later. If he could plant something that was his own in Jesus, when he comes to strike, it will be like a remote that is compatible with a TV. Everything he presses, the TV will respond to it. So the prince of this world cometh, but the disappointment is now that he had nothing. He had nothing in me. He had nothing in me. I began from here because I wanted to show you something. Because this is how spirits operate. It doesn't matter how powerful the devil comes. If there is no enabling environment for him to function, it will be impossible for him to carry out his will. Now, but you see, this thing I just talked about is not only applicable to the devil. Even Jesus. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, from verse 1. Can we read together? We'll read 1 to 6. From 1 to 6. 1, 2, 3, let's go. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day... No. That's 2. Okay, let's go. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence had this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is giving unto him, that even such what? Mighty works are wrought by his hands. Now this is actually the people's verdict. This is their record about what Jesus was doing. And they refer to it as mighty works. Please follow me. They refer to it as mighty works. Jesus was here, so he was doing some stuff. He was doing something that was beyond what the natural man will call natural. That's why they refer to it as mighty stuff. So they were wondering, where did this wisdom come from? They were probing him. Let's continue. It's not this, the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and of Simon, and are not these his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Did you see how now they are analyzing Jesus? This is Jesus that came home, okay? But when they saw him, what they now began to refer to was, they knew him. This guy has made chair for me before. We've seen him make tables. He collected money. Is he not the brother of James? And there may be one of the people that was even talking, because, of course, Jesus had other siblings. Okay? So probably... this is my mind just playing, okay? Probably one of the people that were speaking was even a boyfriend to one of Jesus' sisters. Is it not his sister that we are talking about? That's what they said. Is it not his sister that are here with us? What are you talking about? The carpenter. It was Jesus that came, but who they saw was the carpenter. I was speaking to some people some days ago, and one of these days, if God permits us, we'll talk about it. One of the things the devil does when the devil wants to attack a man is that he first attacks his revelation. Yes. If the devil can attack your perception of God, he will destroy your life. So these people, because of the things they saw about Jesus, for goodness sake, does this make sense? You just acknowledge the fact that he's doing mighty works. Are we correct? Yes. You just acknowledge the fact that he is doing mighty works. Then you now began to analyze him based on who you know him to be. The result of all of this was offense. They were offended. If you see mighty works, should you not celebrate? Because when the devil attacks your revelation, he attacks your life. So these guys were offended. Verse 4. Let's go. Let's continue. 1, 2, 3, let's read together. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and amongst his own kin, and in his own house. And he could dare do what? Excuse me. Let's go back to verse 2. We'll come back here. And we'll read this again. Because I want us to see the record of heaven and the record of the people. 1, 2, 3, let's go again. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying,
From whence had this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is giving unto him that even sought what? Mighty works. So for the people, he was doing big things. They refer to it as mighty works. But now Jesus is telling us in verse 5 that what? Go back to verse 5. The Bible said he could dare do what? No mighty work. So the people had a perspective. Heaven had another perspective. And for heaven, it is that these things that you people are shouting about is not, if you know the agenda, if you know the things that Jesus came to do here, but he could not. So for the one that you are shouting that so much has happened, and you are saying, ah, such mighty works are done, heaven is saying that he could dare. Meaning in other places he was doing, but dare. So there is something about that location that made it impossible for him to do. The Bible did not say he did not. The Bible did not say he did not want to. The Bible said he could not. That's what we say. It means that he came with an agenda too, but he couldn't. So it is possible for Jesus to have an agenda and yet he finds it impossible to execute that agenda. So the Bible says, he could dare do no mighty works, save laid his hands upon some few folks and he healed them. Verse 6, and he marveled. What does it mean to marvel? To be surprised. To be in shock. In the modern language, it shocked you. That's what's happening for today. Jesus went there. Jesus saw something and he shocked him. It would have been impossible for him to marvel if he didn't have an expectation. It means that he went there with an expectation. Are you understanding me? It means that he went there. Now, this is Jesus, okay? This is Jesus who we understand. We understand that he's one who fed thousands with very little. He's one who walked on water. He's one who raised the dead, opened blind eyes, and do all kinds of things. And then he told us the secret to how he does the things that he does. He said, when I see my Father do, it is the things I see him do that I what? That I do. So it means that when Jesus went here, there were things he saw that he could not execute. He went there with an agenda. There was no way he would have had an expectation if he had not seen the Father do. So he came there, but then the environment was not favorable for what heaven's agenda was. So it meant that it was possible that there were people in that place who, as far as heaven was concerned, God had healed them. But when Jesus prayed, nothing happened. It means that there were people who were in that meeting who, as far as Jesus was, with respect to what he had seen before he came to that place, it was obvious that God was about to move. So there was an expectation in his heart. But the Bible said when he got there, he could dare do no mighty works. So in verse 6, the Bible said, and he marveled. One of the few times Jesus marveled was here. He marveled because of their unbelief. So he marveled. So it is possible that a man's unbelief can limit the things I'm about to do in his life to this extent. And so he went round about the villages doing what? Doing what? Teaching. Because now, since unbelief has become the disease in the territory, the only way we can cure it is to teach. when you want to open a people up to the workings of God and the things God wants to do or God is doing in the spirit realm to begin to manifest in their lives, and it is impossible to happen, the secret is begin to open them up to what?
To the word of God.
Remember that scripture where the Bible said, and he sent forth his word. Eh? And then he healed them. That's what the Bible said. He said, so he was going to heal them, but no, he doesn't just heal. He had to say, let the word go first.
No wonder the Bible told us in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. He said, the word of God is quick.
Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and of the intents of the heart. Powerful. But as powerful as the word of God is, it can be limited.
Let me show you this scripture. Mark 7. Mark 7, verse 13, quickly. Now, this was Jesus speaking. For time's sake, we will just stay on this scripture. We would have gone to some few verses, but let's just stay here. Look at what the Bible said. It said, making the word of God of what? That is that word that the Bible told us in Hebrews chapter 4, that we just read now, verse 12, that it is quick and powerful. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, Jesus is telling us that a people can make that word of no effect.
Making the word of God of none effect through what? Their tradition. Which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. So the word of God can be powerful, but be non-effective in the life of a man. Because the man has refused to adapt to the word. Tradition. That you are so rigid at the things you do and the things you know how to do, that it doesn't matter how powerful the word of God comes to you, it's impossible to break it, because this is what we believe in. This is how we are. Tradition. If the word of God will be powerful through a man, and I've said these things many times here, if the word of God will be powerful through a man, that word must first be powerful in the man. That you want God's word to be able to break chains through your mouth, then you should allow the word to break you first. But no, they make the word of God of non-effect
through your traditions.
So many people are so rigid when it comes to the word. So rigid. When we say forgive, you say no. For our family, we know they forgive like that. Oh. We know they too forgive like that. Now so them, my grandfather, now so my father, now so even me, you don't meet, you they complain of me, you don't meet my elder brother. If you see my elder, you will know that me, I'm an angel, like this, I'm the angel. You know, they too forgive. Oh. Impossible. You are making the word of God of non-effect through your tradition. What you have stayed with for so long has to continue like that. Even when the word of God is saying, no, that's not the way.
Say, no, we don't do that. There are some cultures I've heard of that they will tell you that in our culture, before we marry, you must what? Yeah. We must test. Say, not say before our culture. No, we must. We have to. We won't know if you feel born.
Say, leave all this church thing. That's why things are not working for you.
No, the word of God is our final authority. There's nothing wrong with your culture or your tradition as long as it does not violate the word of God.
At the point, you must learn where the line is drawn. At the point, because we need to clarify that, because some of you will now go and say, you know, they have told us in church that this tradition thing does not work.
So all this kneeling down to greet you, just high pop. That's how they will not let you come here again. Say hi, pop. Not this bowing down. Are you God? No.
There's nothing wrong with tradition
as long as it does not. Yes. Let me even say something in passing. It's not part of tradition, but let me say this in passing. As I said this, it crossed my mind. If you are here, and you are living, whether with your parents or your own. Of course, if you're on your own and you're not cleaning the house, there's problem now. Abi? Except you have somebody cleaning it on your behalf. But if you are living in a house and you don't do anything in that house, are you hearing me? Please hear me. If you're living in a house and you don't do anything in that house, God. Okay. I'm looking for the right word to tell you. You are not a true ambassador of the kingdom. Are you hearing me?
Yes, there are people doing stuff, there are people doing everything, but find something and do.
Okay, let me come down again.
You are living in the house, you sleep morning till night, they will cook, you will eat, they will wash the plate for you, you will wait for the next food to come, you will eat, and you'll be telling them that the thing salt, even too much. You wake up, you don't arrange your bed, you don't sweep the house, you say there are people doing it. You are embarrassing the gospel.
Yes.
You are not showing your family, your parents and the rest. You are not showing them the Jesus that you have believed in. You think your own is just to wake up by 4. Then you do that too. Then you do that till 9. Then you now come out. Man of God. Where's my food?
They give you curry and go inside.
You know, sometimes I see this thing and I say, who brought us here?
How did we get here? How did we get here?
There's no sense of responsibility. Every time you are eating food, you don't even think. And something, you say, I don't work. You don't have to be working. Let me teach you something now for some of you. If you learn this thing, happy are you. You don't have to be working. You say, I don't work. Where will I get money from? But you recharge your phone every day. If your phone is never without, you're always, there's always data. And you will leave your house, you come back every day. You don't buy anything.
Say, I don't work now. I'm still a young man. See, let me tell you. I'm teaching you wisdom now. You may not even be up to 20. You may even be a teenager.
Do you know what to do to your parents if they know you don't do anything? But when you have small money, you are coming back home. You say, Mommy, I was just passing. I saw this yam. Tuber of yam. I said, let me just buy it for the kitchen. I assure you. See, when you finish, when you do it, pretend as if you are not seeing. Just be looking at your mother. She'll be wondering, is it another spirit entered this boy? Is it that he had an accident? Is it that something?
I'm telling you, it will. And do you know what that will do? It will give you a better voice in that house.
It doesn't mean that people will worship you and all that. No, that's not what I'm talking about. It means that from that point, when you begin to talk, people will begin to feel like this man is a reason. You are young, but you are reasonable. Because we have seen you do certain things that are reasonable. Every time you come back, it's only you. You buy corn. Only you. You finish the corn, you throw it. Mommy, they don't cook. And you didn't even buy for your parents. You know, when we talk encounters, we talk how it's good though, there's nothing wrong. Let me balance it for you. So that when you are doing those, your father will even say, amen, amen, amen. Something's happening to this guy. From that money that you use every time, just take small. Eh? Are you hearing? Yes. Buy palm oil, buy sachet of pure water, buy something. So just make it a point of duty. It won't be long. It won't be up to 1 month. They will ask you, come, wait. Where are you going to now? This place that I used to go, I want to follow you. I'm telling you. It's not by you come home, you say, after you have finished misbehaving, you did not clean house, you did not do anything. He says, Daddy, I had a revelation. Let's come together in the night. I saw the 7 candlestick. I went to the throne of God. One of these days we'll talk about it. That's why Paul was advising Timothy. He said, don't let any man despise your youth. That's what he was trying to say. Because there is something attached to youthfulness usually. Okay? But there is a way a man can conduct himself that even as a youth, even elders want to sit down and listen to you talk. There was a time I was still based in Abuja. I came to Kaduna for a program. I was going to preach somewhere. It was a Sunday morning, and I was in my elder sister's house, and I was lying down to sleep, and it was morning. Everybody woke up, and people were doing stuff. There was still work to be done, okay? Of course, somebody would have done it after they had finished the one they were doing, but I figured out I could reduce the work. At least if I add, it will make... You won't have to be working till... Do you understand? Yes. At least we can, so that everybody can go to church on time. I got up in the morning and I took the broom. I was going to preach that morning. Yes. I was going to preach in a church. I was the man of God in town. I took broom, I swept the compound. They were like, no, leave it. I said, no, Haba. If I'm here, let's reduce the work. I swept the compound. And guess what? The anointing did not reduce. It didn't reduce. You know, some of you think that if you sweat, it's the oil that is pouring out. So let's just sustain the thing. Even if your barrel falls down, somebody will have to go, pick it for me. So that I don't reduce the unction. One of the first times, Pastor James, not the first times, of course, that time when we're still in TLT and all that, there were times when those days, I can remember one of the days he had to ask me. Because he came to the house, it was time for fellowship. You know, we're almost getting ready to go. And then I wanted to, and I had to change my car tire, right? Yes, no, my car tire. Ah, he saw me sweating. I was, he said, wait, oh. So after this, now you will still preach. I said, why not? Does it change anything? It doesn't change anything. You would even be better for it. Some of you, the issues you are having with your parents, they have not just told you. Eh? Is that the way you are praying, you have gotten to the point where you are praying and you're not doing anything in the house. So they are angry. Because they don't pray like that. And there's work to be done and they are doing it. So you stay inside. Krikata, 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 krikata. Krikata, 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 krikata. You do that. In a dirty house. Your spirit is clean. Your compound is dirty. Repent. Did you hear what I said? I said what? Okay, let's continue. I was in one of our houses one day. We'll continue. But I was in one of our houses one day. These are the people that, if I will even ask, teach me how to dress, come and teach me. I will come and ask you to teach me. I was in one of these houses one day. But by some divine means, I was able to access the person's room. You know, this is funny, but it's not funny. I was able to access the person's room. And should I be sincere with you? Should I be sincere with you? I should be sincere with you. If you carry my laptop bag and you want to keep it in that room, I'll tell you to give me, I'll hold it. Not me. I'm serious. No, I'm saying this thing because I want you to go home and repent. But when you dress here, sleek from head to down, electric suit, electric everything, but your house, go home and repent. It's in the Bible that cleanliness is what? Is next to godliness. Go home. Go home. So when you, at least when your house is even clean, you will now know if really it's asthma that is worrying you, or because you are complaining that you cannot breathe, we will now know whether it's asthma or it's just the atmosphere. Of you, the oppression you are having is not from the devil, it's the environment. The environment, it's not the devil that sent that one. The devil did not even know that you're under oppression, that you're having bad dream. The devil doesn't know. It's just the way the house is. Like, it looks like a horror movie where they are fighting, nightmare. You have the best perfumes. Repent. I know why I'm saying what I'm saying. The life you live, okay, will better help to express the word of God in your mouth. Go home and change. Go home. Write it down when you go. Write it down that, okay, from today, this will be my routine activity. In this house, I'll be the one that will be sweeping the parlor. Even if they say there's somebody that sweeps it, say, no, don't worry, me, I want to sweep. The person should do something else. Write it down. Make it a routine for yourself. The way you are planning calendar for prayer. Give out 30 minutes. Be a disciplined person. Even if nobody ever enters your house, at least let it just be clean. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Bible said that they make the word of God of none effect because of what? Their tradition. So as powerful as the word of God is, the word of God can lose its effect in the life of a man, not because there's anything wrong with the word, but because that man has refused to bend to the word. And the word of God has the capacity to transform a man's life. But if you refuse the word access because you feel like there are things you're already used to, you see, that very word, as powerful as it is, will be of none effect. The same word can be released into the atmosphere. Other people are getting transformed, but you are not. There's nothing wrong with the word. Remember Jesus telling us about the parable of the sower, how that the sower went to sow, and some fell by the wayside, some fell on a stony ground, some fell in thorns, and then some fell on the good ground. The same seed, but only one produced. Did you not see that? And he made us understand that the one by the wayside, that on the wayside are those who are not even believers, who don't even understand the word. But then the other guys, the one that fell amongst thorns, the Bible said, is the one who receives the word. He said, but the cares of this world. Then the one that fell on a stony ground, he said that one received the word with joy. But then there is no root. So, for both the guy who received the word with joy and the one who received the word in tons and the one who was not even born again that received the word, all of them, there was no product. So, that man will say he's born again. But the word of God is not producing in the same manner it is not producing in the life of an unbeliever. Because he has refused to allow the word because of his tradition. Psalm 63. Psalm 63. Let's look at this. It said, truly my soul waited upon God. From him cometh my what? My salvation. 63, not 62. 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek. My soul thirsted for thee, and my flesh longed for thee in a dry and a thirsty land, where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory as I have what? Seen in the sanctuary. Now, so we see what the psalmist is saying here. The psalmist's concern is that there is a sanctuary, and then there are other places outside the sanctuary. But then now I'm bringing to perspective. I'm comparing certain things. That's what he's doing. I'm just trying to show you the back end of it. I'm comparing certain things. I am seeing your power and your glory in the sanctuary, and I'm not seeing the same replicated outside. That's his worry. I'm noticing that there seems to be a difference in the move of God in the tabernacle or in the temple or in the sanctuary. But now it looks like it becomes more difficult for me to see God move outside. See, I've seen people healed everywhere. Everywhere. Even in the house, those who know will tell you. It's commonplace. I can be walking with somebody now. Somebody just come and say, I'm not feeling fine. And we're walking. And I just, in the name of Jesus, be made whole. And then instantly, the person will be healed. Not, it doesn't have to be here. Sometimes I've not even brushed when I say that. I'm not saying, let me go and brush. Let me go and brush so that I'll prepare the unction. When it's not charm we are doing. I was listening to
I was listening to a man of God one of these days, and he was speaking. He's a white man. And somebody was interviewing him, and the person asked him, he said, people say, why does it seem easier to heal, to get people healed of things like cough and common cold than it is to get people healed of cancer and all that? And the man of God said, I don't know that. He said, I don't understand, you don't know. He said, no, he said, the people are saying that. Me, that's not how it is. For me, it even seems easier to heal cancer and to heal common cold. And he said, well, probably because nobody will come and meet me with respect to the things that they've seen God do in my life. Nobody will come and meet me and say, sir, I'm having runny nose and I want you to pray for me. So most of the things he sees are things like cancer, and almost all the time, they are healed. So the psalmist now is worried, and he's saying that why does it seem to be as if something is happening much more in the sanctuary than it is happening outside? Then we found out from his study, he now says that, okay, what? We've seen the difference, and the difference is that there is power and glory in the sanctuary, and we don't seem to see the same outside. So something has to be done for it. That's why we have verse 1. Let's go back to verse 1. He said, oh God, thou art my God. Now, in a bid to ensure that we are able to make happen outside what we see happen in the sanctuary, I'm now responding, and this is how I respond. He said, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsted for thee, and my flesh longed for thee. Because I'm trying to respond to something. I found out that outside seems to be dry, inside seems to be wet. And one of the things that we come to do when we gather together is that we come to seek God. So if we come to seek God when we gather, it means that if I seek God outside, I will find him there. I don't need to wait till it's a Sunday evening before I seek God. I can start. So he said, early will I seek thee. Activating the manifest presence of God. I'm going to say this in no particular order. In no particular order. One of the first ways of activating the manifest presence of God is that we must be God seekers. Is that we must be God seekers. For a man to seek God, that man must be hungry for him. That man must have acknowledged the fact that there is something that is in God that is not in him in person, and he needs that emptiness to be filled by God. Have you ever tried searching for something before? Very recently, I was looking for a document that somebody sent to me. I needed to sign the document and send it back. So I was looking for it, and I couldn't find it. And so I've been searching, and I kept searching and searching and searching, and I've searched everywhere in the house, and I couldn't find it. One of the things with seeking for things is that when you begin your seeking venture, you will find many other things. Those many other things may be important things, but as long as it is not that thing that you are looking for, you won't be satisfied. In the search for those things, I found some of my other documents. In the search for those things, I found some other things that maybe I've even been looking for before and I didn't find. Okay, this thing is there. But that's not what I'm looking for. There is nothing I will find on my journey of search for that document that will satisfy the search for that document. Until I find that document, I will not rest. So there is a seeking. For a man to seek God, that man must acknowledge that there's an emptiness in his spirit that only God can satisfy. So David, the writer of these Psalms,
that we believe to be David, said, "Oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee." He said, "For my soul thirsteth for thee, and my flesh longeth for thee." I acknowledge that we are in a dry land, and in this land there is no water, but my satisfaction is not, if you give me water, thank God, but it's not the water I'm looking for. It is you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, but that's not what I'm looking for. It is you. In this press for God, I assure you, you will find many things. Some of us find healing as we press into God, but God is not healing. God is more than that. Some of us find some kinds of angelic encounters and all of that as we press into God, but God is not all that. God is much more than that. There's an insatiable hunger when we pursue after God. I don't know who I'm speaking to here, but don't rest where you are. There's more to God than you have touched. There's more. And I've really found out that one of the ways that you will know that you are beginning to touch God is that the more of Him you touch, the more you want to touch. There's something about God that is a mystery. He seems to be the one that generates the hunger, and He's still the one that satisfies the hunger by making you even more hungry. Is a mystery in God. He said, "Quicken us and we will call upon your name." There's something about Him when He, if there is any part of you that is feeling like you have found Him and that wants to make you settle, newsflash, you have not found Him. If you find Him, you will want Him more. "Oh God, thou art my God." We are not arguing that. We know, I know that you are mine. But then there is still much more. He said, "Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsted for thee. My flesh hungered after thee." In a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. You may give me water. Thank God for the water. But it is you. You have done something to me. I cannot help myself anymore. That's how you know that you have touched God. He bores an insatiable hole in your heart. And every day you keep praying and you keep pressing and you keep touching and you keep seeing more, but you want much more. A songwriter said, "I want more of you." I want more of you, Jesus, the more is the more I want to know you, Jesus, more of you. Yeah, it's true. It's true. The more you know Him, the more you want to know. If the more you know, the less you want to know, it's not God. It's not God. He bores that hole in your spirit. When you see a man who has touched God, he's more hungry every time. He said, "Early will I seek thee." Number two, in seeking God, of course, this is still under seeking God. In seeking God, we seek Him by investing time. When you see that word "early," you know that time is involved. We seek Him with so much, and we do it in such a way whereby He's the first thing we pursue. He's our priority. He's our desire. You cannot see God taking the time factor for granted. No. We don't see God trying to ease our conscience. You say, "Okay, let me just pray for 5 minutes." No, that's not how we see God. If you see a man who really wants to find God, he doesn't have
Say, I pray 1 hour every day. There's nothing wrong. You can put a minimum, how do you put it? Minimum requirement. But don't limit yourself to it. You know, a lot of us, when we have fixed that 1 hour to pray in a day, once it is 1 hour. In fact, when you start 30 minutes, this is my friend. Hello? I'll call you. I'm praying. I'll call you. You can do that for leisure, but when it's time to really pray, you know, you understand leisure? When you are just, you don't want to waste the mouth, so you can just do other things so you can be speaking in tongues. But when it's time to really pray, my brother, drop it. Drop it. You can't do this all. You not find anything. Check. 45 minutes. This 15 minutes doesn't want to end, though. The moment it is, in fact, before I even reach the 1 hour, you're already thanking God because the prayer has ended. Father, we thank you. I've given you your share today. That's not how we seek God. No. Sometimes that your 1 hour will reach and pass. You know that. Mm-mm. You even had plans for that day. You know that. Mm-mm. This today like this. As you're trying to end it, a song rises in your spirit. You know that there is more. Some of you, what you do that time is that you end the prayer. Then you're going to be singing the song outside. The song came when you were praying. I'm trying to tell you something. That sometimes when you are praying and then you feel, you get those signals. There's a sound in your spirit. God is drawing you more. It's a channel. But you now end the prayer. Hey, now go outside and go and watch TV. When I was praying, this song just came, eh? I was just singing. I don't know. I just feel like singing the song. You don't know. They were drawing you to stay. Well, because you know that it's 1 hour for you every time. You can't find God like that every time. A man who really wants to know God, just when you are rounding up, all of a sudden, it begins to rise in your spirit. You're already saying, thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you. The alarm has already even rung. Then you just hear, you are my obsession. You are my heart desire. You are my obsession. You are. You are my obsession. By then you know that someone is pulling you. You are my heart desire.
You are my obsession. You are.
You are my obsession.
You are my obsession.
You are my heart desire.
You are my heart desire.
You are my obsession.
Some of those things. I'm trying to make you understand what's happening in the back end. Sometimes that's how spirits call you. A spirit is pulling you back. Come down. You're in a hurry to leave this place. There is more we need to show you. Relax.
But you just tell the spirit, say, boy, leave me. I don't go watch TV.
He's trying to show you that there's something you missed when you were praying. See, if you touch this thing, you will see God more here.
A giant is rising from this place tonight.
Early will I seek thee. He said, my soul thirsted for thee. A man who wants to find God must be a God seeker. Isaiah 55 verse 6. Just want to read you scriptures very quickly. Isaiah 55, 6. Isaiah 55, 6. I'll call many of them very, very quickly. 6. Very quickly. Please help me. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's what? Like I said, for time's sake, I won't speak on these scriptures. I'll just give you Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. It says, seek and ye shall find. It says, ask and ye shall receive. It says, seek and ye shall find. It says, knock and it shall be what? There is an assurance that when we seek him, we would find him. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. I want us to beat time. That's why I don't want to. I would have wanted to touch these scriptures one by one. Proverbs 8, 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall what? You see that God has put himself in a place. And he said, any man who seeks him would find him. Jeremiah 29, 13. Jeremiah 29, 13. He said, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me, what? How? With all your heart. He said, ye shall seek me. We see now, we are seeing some very serious things here. One, he said, if you seek me early, you will find me. And now he's saying that ye shall seek me and find me if you search for me with all your heart. Apostle Selman will say, the criterion for all of God is all of you. Yeah. Search for him with all your heart. That's your pursuit. Number two. How to secure his manifest presence. He must be an obedient lover of God. An obedient. I'm putting two words together because I don't want to make it too bulky. That's why I'm putting two words. You must be an obedient lover of God. Now, let me say something as I continue. You would have noticed that in a while, when I teach, at some point, I try to bring out certain things in point forms for you so that you would be able to apply them. That's why I'm doing that. I could have just gone and then let you fly and then talk and all of those things. But I'm doing that so that you'll be able to see the points where you can. And if you apply these things, you'll be shocked. The essence is so that you can grow, so you can mature, so you'll be able to know the things that you are not doing and doing right. John 14, verse 21.
Yeah, you were my obsession. You were my heart desire. You were my obsession. You are.
No, he said, he that had my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will do what? I will do what? Now, we are seeing that Jesus or heaven has a way he defines love for God. That love for God is not just by singing a song, I love you, Lord, and all of this. He said, if a man loves me, this is how we know in heaven, he will keep my commandment. You cannot disobey the word of God and claim to love him in a song. He that loves me, simple, keep my commandments. That's how God knows that a man is in love with him. He it is that loveth me, and then he that loveth me, shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him also, and this is what I will do. I will manifest myself to him. Are we seeing something that looks like favoritism there? That Jesus is saying that there are people that I will manifest myself to. While you are looking for him up and down, there are people who he has said he will manifest himself to. And he's a man who keeps his word, who obeys his word. You must take the word of God seriously. You can't take the word of God for granted and expect to see certain dimensions of God's power and glory in your life. It's a lie. Don't deceive yourself. There is no dimension of grace that takes for granted sin. No. No. Say grace covers it. Grace is not a bedsheet, though. It's not a covering cloth that covers your dirty mattress. Verse 22. Judas then said unto him, of course not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us? Are you seeing that? And not unto the world. How do you intend to do this thing? Because if you are manifesting yourself, it's not something that happens. Say, no. This is a peculiar kind of manifestation. This is my conscious presence. God is everywhere, but God does not walk everywhere. How is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? Verse 23. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come. Are you hearing this? We will do what? We will come unto him, and we will do what? We will make our abode with him. So it means that when a man begins to take the word of God seriously, and he begins to pattern his life in accordance to the word of God to ensure that he lives by it, he keeps his instructions, heaven is paying attention to that man. And the more you are committed to the word, the closer the presence of the Lord to you. We are coming to, when a man begins to take the word of God seriously, that man begins to draw the attention of heaven. We are not talking about just being born again. It's much more than that. He's a man who has subjected himself as a bond slave to God's word. I don't want to give examples so that we can finish. That's why. So we will come unto him and we will make our abode. Anybody who wants God to take him seriously must take the word of God seriously. See, there are no new ways. The problem is that we are trying to generate new things. There are no, is this, the word of God must be first place in your heart. Don't just read the word of God because you want to fulfill all righteousness, like what you call morning devotion. No, read the word of God because you want to pattern your life in accordance to his word. So you are in a relationship with somebody, and the person you are in a relationship with claims to be born again. And then every time the person calls you, the person wants to be talking all kinds of nonsense. All kinds of nonsense. Just wants to be talking, you know. You people have not spoken, just he has a way of just making you go back to those kinds of conversations where you sound very flirtatious and all of that. You just want to say all kinds of nonsense. Then sometimes he starts asking you to send, let me see your face. And
He's sending face. He said, is it only face? Said, the way you are looking, it's like you're not wearing clothes. Oh, yeah, send me full picture. I'm calling your name, you know. Full picture. Say, is it every time? Is it every time? That means you have sent before.
And then you have been doing that. And then one day you started reading the Bible, and somewhere you now came across that scripture in Corinthians where the Bible said, evil communication corrupts good manners. Then you now realize that, okay, it's true. I didn't used to be like this until we began to talk and all of these things. And this person doesn't seem to be one who is ready to repent. Guess what? There's only one way. What do you do? That's it. That's it. You see, when a man begins to live like that, that, okay, he has seen it from scripture, that, okay, this is not the right kind of people I should associate myself with. I need to now change my pattern, change my life, change my relationships. I need to stop all of these things. What that man is doing is that man begins to attract the attention of heaven. What heaven is saying concerning that man is like, this person wants to begin to become serious. So, Jesus has a promise for that person. If he continues like that, the promise is that I will manifest myself to him.
You know why I'm happy? You know why I'm happy? A relationship will break today. Me, I know.
It's not prophecy. I know. I already know. When this is happening, I know. It has already broken now. You know what you need to do when you go. Life is more serious than your feelings. Yes.
Number three. I'm trying to be fast, like really fast.
Building and maintaining a strong atmosphere of faith in God. Building and maintaining a strong atmosphere of faith in God.
Very quickly, some few scriptures, I'll just call them and then we'll read. John 14, verse 1. This media, you helped me very fastly. John 14, 1. The Bible said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11:6.
But without faith, it is what? It is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must, one, do what? Believe that he is. And also believe that he is what? A rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Prayer without faith, it is impossible
to please God.
Anything done without faith, it is impossible
to please God.
Then the Bible says, for he that cometh to God, that's access, must first believe that God is. You know, sometimes the way people live their lives, it's obvious that they don't really believe that God is.
I went somewhere for a meeting and someone was giving a testimony, and the thing the person said was a lie. I knew it was a lie. And the person stood on stage and told a lie and said, God has given her a breakthrough. Now, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how much you quote scriptures. It doesn't matter how much you call the name of God. You don't believe that God is. You don't.
It's not by saying, God, I believe you, I believe. No, that's not what it is. Remember the word of God, Hebrews 4:12? Sharper than every two-edged sword. Okay? To the dividing of the bone and the marrow. He said, it's the discerner of the very intent of the heart. So God is one who looks beyond the outward. He sees everything. It's not by you just saying, Lord, I believe in you, I believe in you. See, when you say certain things, it's obvious you don't believe that there is a God. A man who believes there is a God, there are certain things he will not do. And that's why the Bible told us in James that faith without works is what? You cannot say you have faith in God and it does not show in the way you live. For he that must come to God must believe that he is. Otherwise, access denied. Must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. I know that some of you don't like the things I'm saying. But if it is God you want to access, if it is the manifest presence of God you want to activate, then you better hear what I'm saying. Mark 6. Mark 6, verse 6 is a scripture we have read, but I just want to go back to it. The Bible said, and he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages doing what? Teaching. He marveled because of their unbelief. So the only way he could salvage that situation, because the Bible now makes us understand that faith cometh by what? By hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So if faith comes by hearing, then the only way we can generate faith in the heart of the people is by teaching. So the people can hear. Faith comes by hearing. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. And hearing by the word. So Jesus understood that because of the unbelief, I couldn't do much. So if we must break this barrier, then the word of God must be preached. So that the faith of the people can come alive. Mark 11, 22. I'm trying to see how we can catch up. There are two more points in this teaching anyways. There may be many, many others, even from some of our other teachings. You can get other points. Mark 11, 22. We'll read back down to 24. The Bible said, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in who? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say... Now, do you notice how I had to start from verse 22 so that we will see how these things begin? He didn't say have faith in your prayer. Some of us have faith in our spiritual activities, okay? Some of you, the reason why you think God will do the things he said he will do is because you fasted. Yes, you need to fast, taking advantage of that which he has made available and the grace of God and all of that. But then, your faith should not be in your activities. Your faith should be in God. So Jesus began, even though he wanted to teach us about prayers and commanding supernatural results, the faith he had to give us instruction to have in is in God. So verse 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. Keep that. Then 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt where? In his heart. He says it with his mouth, and he does not doubt in his heart that's enough prayer point for somebody. That we should be able to come to a point whereby the things we say with our mouth and what we believe in our heart are in alignment. Now, if they are not, you know what we need to do? That's why we need to begin to press into God, to fast, to pray. That's for another day. But shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have how many things? Whatsoever he said. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall what? When ye pray. It doesn't stop there. You must believe that ye receive them, then you shall have them. Building and maintaining a strong atmosphere of faith in God. Number four. Okay. If we do well, we would be able to wrap it up. A lifestyle of true praise and worship. A lifestyle of true praise and worship. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. We'll read down to 20. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You see, he's telling us about being filled with the Spirit, activating that presence. And so he's telling us one of the things that we can do. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody where? In your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 16. Let's finish the scriptures so that we will not take time. Verse 25 and 26. And at midnight, we know this scripture, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to where? And sang praises unto who? And the prisoners did what? And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. Hallelujah. And immediately all the doors were open. Can you hear me? And immediately all the doors were open. And everyone's band were loosed. Psalms 22. Verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest what? The praises of Israel. So God does not only live in men, God makes abode in the praises of his people. John 4 is a major crash course I'm doing. What we're doing could have taken us like a month to finish, but because there are many other things we need to do. That's why I don't want to put this in serious. Verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to do what? For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Verse 24. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and they that must worship him in spirit and in truth. I began earlier when I was talking about seeking God and when we begin to pray, and I started making us understand that sometimes when we are in the place of prayer and we are praying, and sometimes when the Spirit wants to drive us deeper, He begins to give us a song. It's because of how powerful songs are. I wish that we know that songs are not just what we sing because we feel good. Songs are divine strategies to creating an atmosphere, a conducive atmosphere, okay, for certain entities to find expression. Now, what that means is this. I'm still teaching, but I want to show you something. This is what it means. For example, something is happening in a realm in the spirit. It's a spiritual procession that is going on. And so we as believers now, we are here. It looks like we're in a natural, in a physical realm, right? Are we correct? Yes. And so in this physical realm, as we're talking, all of a sudden I pick a signal into this realm of the procession that is going on there. And the way I pick it is that I pick a particular song, possibly a song that they are singing now. Sometimes it may not even be that it is the song that they are singing. It may just be that that is the interpretation I'm getting in my own spirit. I'm showing you something powerful. And so in my own spirit, the way what I'm hearing there and all of those things is coming out. Yeshua. We're teaching. Now, when we began to do that, one of the things I realized, okay? One of the things I realized was that there is a lady in this place now, okay? As we speak, that heaven, you used to have certain measures of the prophetic. Something now happened to you and it felt like you became a casualty. And so those things now stopped happening in your life. And I saw that it's like they are treating you. It's like they are putting something within you and they are treating you to begin to revive this prophetic dimension. Okay? Then all of a sudden, once this thing is done, one of the things that will begin to happen to you is that you will realize that sometimes you will just sit down. And then by inspiration, like a river, okay, insights from the Spirit will begin to open up to you. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? If you understand that now, Spirit of God, who is this person that you showed me just now? Now, listen. How can that happen? We are just talking. But with a song, we ascended into a realm. And we saw what is happening there. And now we are bringing the same thing down here. It's only you that thinks a song is for entertainment, and that's because you are the victim.
Those secular songs you have are not for entertainment. Nah.
It came from a realm. And every time those songs are sung, it creates that possibility here from where it came from. That's why we don't play with the sounds that we listen to. And the reason is because you are the victim. So you think it's for entertainment. It's not for entertainment. Songs are not for entertainment. Yes, some of them will make you feel good. You will feel good. But it's not for you. So the Bible said, Paul and Silas, when they prayed, they sang praises unto. It's only you that thinks that it is to feel good. No, a song is not to, it's to create an atmosphere, to generate a realm. Bring people into possibilities in the spirit, whether of God or of the devil. But songs are powerful. Oh, thou art holy, thou that inhabitest. Speaking, and Jesus said that the hour cometh that they that must worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. He said, for the Father seeketh such to worship him, because God wants to show up in the territory. So God is looking for men who will be able to tap into that realm and find the sound of heaven and replicate the same here. And when they begin to sing it, it will be almost impossible for God not to show up, because you are generating the atmosphere. You don't know the power of a song. You don't know the power of praise and worship to God. You are generating an atmosphere. You can come into alignment with what God is doing when you find the song. Tell your neighbor, find that song. Drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody unto God in your heart. In the name of Jesus, please sit down. Please sit down. One more point. We'll wrap it up now. Number five. Taking advantage of the corporate atmosphere. Taking advantage of the corporate atmosphere. You know, when Nehemiah was giving his testimony, and he started saying some of the things that he was saying about the fact that the Lord began to tell him that if he had prepared like that, you know, coming to fellowship, what he had desired would not have been a prayer point. You know, I just knew that was a confirmation. Of course, I already knew. It's not like it was just a part of it and all of those things for what we are saying tonight. Matthew 18. Verse 20. I'll read all the scriptures very quickly. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, let's go. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I
Now, of course, we know that God is ever present. He's everywhere. So if this scripture means the same thing of God being everywhere, so what's the difference? Why are you now telling us that wherever two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst of them? It means that there is more to this. It's a higher level or a higher manifestation of his presence that he's talking about. He's talking about the manifest presence of God. This is not what you get by just praying on your own. This is what happens when people come together. And we must learn to be able to take advantage of some of these kinds of atmosphere. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, yeah. Remember when we began from Mark chapter 6, the Bible said, and the Lord could not dare do mighty works. Now we are seeing another dare where he is telling us that he can be. He said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, there am I in the midst of them. Psalms 84, verse 7. Popular scripture. The Bible said they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion that appeared before God. Some other version said they go from strength to strength. Every one that appeared before God in Zion. That when we come together in a corporate gathering, united, without any form of unbelief, with a desire for God, we don't live the way we came. No. No. You live with something, with an instruction, with an impartation, with an insight, with a revelation, with something, with a touch from God. But they go from strength to strength. Everyone that appeareth before God in Zion. Psalm chapter 10. Psalm chapter 10. Very quickly. Verse 9. We'll read down to verse 11. Look at this. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, let go. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. Sorry. There's a mistake. 1 Samuel. Not supposed to be Samuel. 1 Samuel. Verse 9 to 11. All right, let's go. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, that God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to what? To pass that day. He had an encounter with another man and something happened to him. His heart was changed. Okay? And so when he moved, the Bible says, verse 10, let's read. And when they came thither, to where? To the hill. Behold, a company of prophets met him. Let's read loud. And the Spirit of God came upon him and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass that when all that knew him, what? He prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also amongst what? Taking advantage of a corporate atmosphere. So much so that the man in himself ordinarily did not have a prophetic tendency. But because he came under the company of prophets, he began to prophesy. These are some of the things that happen when we gather. No man lives the way he comes. Except you don't believe it. And you don't feel like I just came. Okay, of course we know that there are people who came for several other reasons. You know? And all of those things. But if you came genuinely to the gathering and you came to fellowship with the brethren, you are not supposed to live the way you came. So sometimes there are things you probably would have been struggling with, okay, on your own. You have tried and it didn't work. You can make up your mind. That's why I said what he said was like a connection to what I was going to round up with. You can make up your mind that this thing I've been trusting the Lord for, as I'm going to the house of God today, taking advantage of the corporate grace, I will not live with the same issue.
I'm pressing into a dimension in God. And as I'm coming to the house of God, I am deliberately preparing myself and my heart. I'm not living the way I came. Like that woman with the issue of blood, the Bible said, and she said in her heart, if I may but touch the hem of his garment. I know you came here, but what did you say to yourself before you came? Taking advantage of the corporate atmosphere. So much can happen. In the book of Luke chapter 1, I don't think we'll be able to read that, but let me just give it to you. Luke chapter 1 from verse 26 to 40. And then 56 will be the last. But in that scripture, we would see something happening to a woman called Mary. Mary had an encounter with an angel. And in that encounter, the angel told Mary, okay, that she was going to give birth to a child. And in that entire encounter, the angel also told Mary that Elizabeth has been with a child 6 months. When Mary heard that, she knew well enough to know that it would not be wise for me to just sit down on my own. The Bible says she made haste and she went to Elizabeth's house. She went to stay with Elizabeth because there is something God is doing to me that seems to be unique. It's not what is happening around, and you are the closest one that God is doing something similar with. So I can't stay around unbelievers who don't believe what's happening with me. Let me stay with someone who had a similar encounter. So she stayed with Elizabeth. She stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. Did you notice that? Why 3 months? Because she was already pregnant for 6 months. So the baby was still going to be in her womb for another extra 3 months. The moment she delivered, there's no need to stay again. You have already gotten your own. By now, my own is already strong. I have jumped first trimester already. So now, we can continue. It doesn't matter the unbelief that people bring. I have fellowship well enough with one who has a similar interaction, a similar encounter. The angel that met me met you. So let's hang around a little bit. Sometimes we need to find people like that, who understand the language that we are speaking in God, and fellowship together and build our faith together, because we know that there's something about a corporate gathering of like minds. In the book of Psalm 133, popular scripture, the Bible said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He said, for it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. And then he now told us in verse 3, he said, as the dew upon Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion. He said, for dear Kabara, for dear, the Lord commanded what? The blessing. And what is the blessing? Even life forevermore. So sometimes you are going through certain things and it seems like it is difficult. I've come to tell you that there is that which the Lord commands in a corporate gathering. And you can come in that place with an intention in your heart that I'm not living the way I came. I know the God that I'm going to meet, for they appear, for they go from strength to strength. Every one of them that appear before God in Zion. You might have had an encounter, but every time you come before God in Zion, it can be better. You can live with a higher measure. You can live with something much more than what you came with. That's why we gather. It's not just a ceremony. It's because every time we behold him, we are changed from glory to glory. Kaye kabala brastabe, lebrekuri nambestebe. Rababande sopriat cum rieskeve, robeta bangre catene mom rieste fida, rababambro sefe, robebebede coperada bom rieca penamba, liga de ba. No! You can leave your house literally and make them know that it's not the same man who is going out that is coming back, because of where I'm going to meet the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who can change a man's story like night and day. Your life can change by just coming into an atmosphere. You can say, tonight, as I'm living here, my prayer life is changing forever. You can say, tonight, as I'm living here, this fear is not going with me. As I'm living here, the bandages are broken forever. You can leave this meeting another man. You can leave here with an unusual encounter. You can leave this meeting and say, this lust dies as I live here. I'm not going back with this. It will be evident that this lust has given way. It will be evident that this fear has given way. It will be evident that I have touched the monarch of Zion. It will be evident. Oh.
Bebe da frecum stevi da bombre esto vita, raboste vinante veda fruste. Lego bo sabina, adabante covenambre sto vide bracate. Somebody's life will never remain the same on account of this encounter with the monarch of Zion tonight. On account of this encounter with the King of Glory tonight. For as we behold him, we are being changed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Oh. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we need to go. Oh, oh, oh. For someone, the glory of God that you are beholding will change your life forever. Yes. We need to go. We need to go. Very quickly, all eyes closed. Very quickly, all eyes closed. We need to go. If you know you are here as we speak right now, the reason we had to stop this, you know you are here and you are not born again. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. Or maybe you were born again at some point. You lost that relationship, you backslided, and you don't know him. Or maybe you're even here and you're not sure if you're born again or not. And you want to say, I want to leave this meeting today and be sure. I don't want to leave this meeting thinking if I'm born again or not. It's time to make it right with Jesus. And you want to say, I want you to pray for me, sir. Very quickly, I want to pray for you. If you are like that, all eyes closed. Everybody, just keep your hands down. But if you are like that, I want you to raise your hand above your head. I want to pray for you.
You want to say, I want to make it up tonight. I want to be born again. I'm waiting for you. If you're, God bless you, I can see some hands. If you're joining them very quickly, I want you to, very quickly, I want to pray. You're joining them, your hand is lifted. Just lift it above your head. There's nothing to be ashamed of. If you're joining them, join them quickly. I want to pray now. You want to say, I want to make it up with Jesus today. Enough. I want to be sure. Enough of this back and forth. Enough. God bless you. I can see hands going up. You're making one of the best. You are making the best, not one of the best. You're actually making the best decision of your life. We all at some point had to do this. Whether you like it or not, at some point you have to acknowledge that, God, I can't lie about this. I don't have you in my heart. I usually would just pray for you, but there's an instruction the Lord is giving me to ask you to come forward. I want to lay my hands on every one of you. I don't know why. Today, for those of you who are giving your life to, or your committee ready, please, if your hand is lifted, please come forward. I'm instructed to lay my hands on them. God bless you. God bless you. If you know that you need to join them, please join them now. You're troubled in your spirit. You're not sure. You say, I want to be sure today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. They're joining them quickly. Quickly. The power of sin is broken here. Quickly. You want to join them? Quickly. Quickly. Your life will not remain the same after tonight. I see that there's something that the Lord wants to do with someone amongst these people. That's why he asked me to ask them to come out. Now, if you're outside, I want you to talk to God yourself. Tell him, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Today I have come. Enough of the back and forth. It's time to be serious with you. Talk to him. I'll lead you to pray, but talk to him. I keep seeing a young man in the congregation. You have been... Talk to him. Just talk to him. You have been seeing things that confirm to you that God wants to use you. But you know, there's no gimmicks about it. You know that as you are now, you are not born again. But there are confirmations. You don't even like the things of God really so much. But if there's a way you can escape it, you would have. You've been seeing these things. You know, there have been this impression, but you know that as you are now, you don't have a relationship with God. If you are that person, please join them now. I keep seeing this person. There's something on your head. There's something on your life. It's nothing to be ashamed of. God bless you. Talk to God. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. In the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus. As all eyes closed, lift up your hands. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you as I am. I'm sorry for my wrong. I acknowledge that you died for me. You shed your blood for me. And now you are the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for me. Today I have come to accept that life. I ask that the power of sin be broken from my life. From now henceforth, I am your son and your daughter. Use me for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now I'll pray for you very quickly. And once I'm done, I'll lay my hands as I'm praying for all of you. Once I'm done, they will just direct you very quickly. Say some few words and pray with you. And that will be all. Give you some few instructions. Father, I thank you for these precious lives. You who is able to keep us from falling, you've kept them. You will keep them from falling. We ask that the power of sin be broken from all their lives, and you will use them for your glory. Your life will not remain the same after tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ.
What a joy it was having you on this journey, and I believe you were blessed. For more of our messages, you can follow us on our social media platforms. Our Facebook handle is @TFHOL. And our Telegram handle is also @TFHOL. For more inquiries, you can call us on +234 8080 8400 80. God bless you. Bye.